Our ancestors cooked with fire because they didn't have a choice. But now many bakers and restaurateurs are returning to this primitive way of cooking. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, wood-fired ovens in Iowa. I'll talk with Matt Steigerwald and Aaron Hall of the Lincoln Wine Bar in Mount Vernon about their wood-fired pizza oven. Simone DeLatte, owner of Simone's Plain and Simple Artisan Bread and Farm Fresh Products, prepares her delicacies in an outdoor wood-fired oven. And Jim Duncan, founder and publisher of Relish, will be here to give us a tour of wood-fired products in Iowa. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And we've seen smoke emerging from more and more restaurants in Iowa. This hour, we're going to talk about wood-fired ovens in and out of restaurants in Iowa. A little later in the hour, Jim Duncan, founder and publisher of Relish in central Iowa, is going to be talking with us about some of these restaurants around the state of Iowa that are using wood-fired ovens. We're going to start the hour with someone who has a wood-fired oven in their restaurant. Matt Steigerwald is here. He is chef and owner of the Lincoln Cafe and Wine Bar in Mount Vernon. And Aaron Hall is also here with him, the pizza maker at the Lincoln Wine Bar in Mount Vernon. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
Good morning.
Thank you both so much for being here today. And in the interest of full disclosure, the Lincoln Cafe is an underwriter of Iowa Public Radio. But Matt, when you decided to open the wine bar next to Lincoln Cafe in Mount Vernon, why did you decide to go with a wood-fired oven?
When we got the wine bar, it was 2007, and it was a very small space, and we weren't able to do much food out of there. And so about a year and a half ago, the neighboring business was closing, and we decided to knock the wall out. And my first thought was we wanted to do pizza. And I feel like if we were going to do pizza, the natural way to go with any baking or any bread would be wood and, you know, like a masonry structure of some kind, because it holds the heat and it's a lot of fun. Wood fire, I think, makes the best breads. I think the masonry structure, you know, the brick holds the heat. It's a great way to do it. And having the fire is a great addition because it's visually interesting for guests. It's a hearth for the space. You know, it's a visual center, social center for the space, especially in the winter here in Iowa. It's nice to come into a space and have the fire there and to feel like you're part of a special thing.
Or even in May in Iowa, it's nice
right,
to have a fire.
Right, correct.
There are, of course, a lot of different kinds of pizza ovens in the world, and of course, you know, pizza ovens were invented to sort of simulate the environment that a wood-fired
right.
oven once had, but
mm-hmm.
without the hassle of a wood-fired oven. So what makes it worth dealing with the little bit of extra hassle that a wood-fired oven brings you to bring something special to
right.
that?
Well, I think that what we do at the cafe and just as cooks, it doesn't seem like a hassle. It seems like an interest. It makes it more fun. You're not just, you know, hitting a switch and, you know, heating a deck oven. It adds a sense of there's an unknowable sort of quantity. You know, you can't really always know exactly what's going to happen when you put that log in. You have to constantly monitor the heat. It's just more fun, I think. I mean, it does make great pizza. I mean, I think you can get great pizzas out of other ovens that don't have wood cooking. I mean, obviously, there are a lot of places in the world that don't. But it's a way to get that high temperature that is needed to make the kind of pizza that we do, which you can hear about more from Aaron in terms of why it needs that high heat. But if you're going to have to heat an oven up to 850, 900 degrees, which not a lot of ovens can do anyway, if you're going to have to do that, why not do it with some wood and just have it look so cool when you're doing it? It's just a lot of fun.
Well, and Aaron, let's bring you into the conversation. Tell us a little bit about this process. I mean, starting at the beginning, of course, in the beginning of the day, you have a cold oven. What do you do to bring it up to temperature?
Especially throughout the week. That oven stays pretty hot. Even if I, you know, we're open until 9 o'clock and the oven closes down at about 900, 850 degrees, the next day it's still, you know, 400 degrees when I start it. So, I mean, cleaning the coals out at 3:30 or so and putting in some fresh wood and some fresh kindling, and it starts right up. And it doesn't take too long. It's about an hour and a half or so to heat up. So it's not, you know, like we talk about how it would be easy to come in at 4:30 and flip a switch and it'll be warm and hot at, you know, 5. It's, you know, also not as much fun, and, you know, I've got other things to do there anyway. So it's just a joy to go in and do that.
Well, and Matt, this is a special oven. Tell me about the oven.
So there's a family from Italy. Their name is Ferrara, F-E-R-R-A-R-A. They've been building these ovens for 100 years, 120 years, in, you know, the Naples area where people say pizza sort of started. And it has an especially thick floor. I think it's like 6 to 8 inch stone pieces in the floor, 4 of them, all stone from the region where it's built, which is important because it holds the heat a lot better. I mean, like Aaron was saying, it's not going to lose that temp very quickly. You can buy other ovens that are wood-fired ovens, and pretty much the floors are 2 to 4 inches. And I have friends that have some of those ovens, and they say that the next day it's, you know, 150 degrees. So it doesn't hold the heat. The walls are especially thick. You know, it's a whole family tradition. These guys have been building these ovens for 100 years. They will make them the size you want. We have, I think, the smallest one that they'll build, but they make them up to, I think, eight feet across. Ours is like 5 feet across, I believe. And they really have down through the years perfected the an aspect to making the pizzas and keeping the heat, which is the circulation of hot air within the space. So it's a dome inside there with brick ceiling, brick dome. It's probably only 3 feet high from the floor of the oven to the top of the dome. And there's no vent inside the oven. A lot of people think that there's a chimney in the middle of the dome, but there's not. The only way for smoke to ventilate out is through the front of the oven. There's a little lip outside of the front of the oven, and the smoke rolls out and goes straight up. There's no fan. It's all just by draft. So these guys have it down. I mean, they know what they're doing. They've got the circulation of air right. And as long as you build the fire correctly, it's beautiful. Yeah.
And do you keep – Aaron, I should ask you this. Do you keep a fire going all the time while you're baking?
Yeah. Throughout the whole night of service, there will always be a flame in there. It's actually important for the baking process of the pizza to have that flame sort of curl up over the top of that dome. It helps – I mean, just keep the oven hot, too. There's a lot of coals in there, and it will get warm, but having that flame is essential.
Is this the first wood-fired oven that you had worked with?
It is, yeah. When Matt thought about doing this, he said, hey, Aaron, you want to make dough? You want to make pizzas? And I said, I don't know how right now, but we'll figure it out. And we have, I think. And we continue to change variables and make it exactly the way that we want to.
All right. We talked about this extreme high temperature in the pizza oven. Why do you want it so hot? I mean, a lot of us have baked pizzas at home, and certainly you can't really get your oven nearly that hot, but most of us bake them at 400 degrees or so.
Part of it's time. It's nice to be able to have a pizza in and out and, you know, a minute and a half. You have to have a specific dough for that. I mean, the dough that we've come up with is a slightly more hydrated dough than what you might work with at home.
And why is that important?
Being able to stretch the dough, first of all, is important. And if you have a thick dough, a lot of people will, you know, use a roller to roll that out. But to be able to work with it with your hands is nice. And I don't know, it just ends up making a great crust.
The dough that the dough we use is a dough that we worked on for that I worked on for a year with Aaron before we even opened the place, and it's sort of we've taken a 3-day fermentation bread dough and played with that idea, and so the amount of water in the dough is important because the oven's so hot, and so if the dough was drier when it went in, it would be drier when it came out. But because there's a lot of water in that dough and you can work with it, it goes in for a minute and a half at 850, 900 degrees, and it's still moist and chewy when it comes out. It's like both the things rely on each other. The hydration of the dough relies on a high heat. The high heat relies on the dough being highly hydrated. So it's like they're made for each other in a certain way. I mean, I think you can do other doughs in that oven, but you'd have to lower the temperature of the oven, and it's just not – it's just not how to do it right.
And the pizzas are in there for 90 seconds. That's fast.
Yeah,
about 90 and sometimes just a little past, but not much at all.
When we first started with the oven, we were aiming for 900 degrees is what we had kind of read was right. And because we – you know, one thing we did with these doughs was we made a year's worth of dough trying them at home and getting our oven up to 600 degrees. Well, we didn't really have access to an oven that got to 900 degrees. So we were – we knew that we could come close to what we wanted, but then all of a sudden we'd have to cook it at 300 degrees higher, so it's probably going to be totally different. So when we were doing the practice doughs, they were great, but we knew we were going to go in this high oven, and so it just seemed like if we're going to have this oven be 900 degrees, we need to make the dough match it. And you can do different doughs in that oven. And like I said, you can make smaller fires and do it that way. But I just don't think they'd be as interesting and like charred and chewy. When we first started, we had it at 900 degrees. That's what I was going to say. 900 degrees, and when we used our dough, it got a little too black before the middle of the crust was cooked, so that's when we kind of backed it down to 850, and that seems to be the temperature that works best for us.
So even though we spent all this time, you know, trying to find this perfect dough before we got the oven, you know, not to say we didn't get anywhere, because I think we found something that we knew we would like, but we really had to sort of change things again once a different variable showed up.
And can you taste that it was cooked with a fire? Can you taste the smoke in the pizza?
I wouldn't say you can necessarily taste the smoke. A lot of people ask us if you, like, oh, what kind of wood do you use? Because they think in their mind they're thinking about, like, smoking meats or smoking something else. And it's that char that you taste, and it's that flame that's so close. And I think you can really taste that.
We'll continue our conversation in a moment. I'm talking with Matt Steigerwald, chef and owner of the Lincoln Cafe and Wine Bar in Mount Vernon. Aaron Hall, the pizza maker at the Lincoln Wine Bar in Mount Vernon. We're going to talk more about wood-fired ovens around the state of Iowa in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about wood-fired ovens in Iowa, in restaurants and outside of restaurants as well. In a little while, Jim Duncan, food critic and founder and publisher of Relish, Central Iowa's Food Quarterly, will be on the show with us in just a few minutes. But right now with me is Matt Steigerwald, chef and owner of the Lincoln Cafe and Wine Bar in Mount Vernon. Aaron Hall is here. He's the pizza maker at the Lincoln Wine Bar in Mount Vernon, where there is a beautiful wood-fired oven. And now joining the conversation is Simone Delati. She is owner of Simone's Plain and Simple, artisan bread and farm fresh products. And she has an outdoor wood-fired oven on her property near Wellman. Hello, Simone.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today. And tell me about the origin of your oven. Where did it come from?
I really researched the old ovens in France and visited some places and learned all I could that way. And then also in this country, I got some great information when I was decided about the size and everything from Oven Crafters in California. And this company has built many professional oven of the kind I have all over the United States.
So you brought in professional oven builders to build this oven on your property?
No. Local builders. Local. Okay. But I got, you know, the information I needed and blueprint.
And why did you want to have an outdoor wood-fired oven on your property?
You know, mostly I wanted to make some bread that I couldn't find around in 92. Leaven one, you know, and breads made with this kind of natural leavening do the best in a brick oven because they don't raise very much, but they the heat there makes, and the humidity, if you fill your oven, will make the bread of the best quality.
Is this the kind of bread that most of us would think of as a sourdough, something that you don't add yeast to?
Exactly.
And
I make a sourdough that's not sour, that's kind of the French kind. And then also excellent for breads like pita, and they will blow in an oven like this, and it's so beautiful.
And how hot does your oven get? Do you know?
So, yes, I do. And I test it, too, with a laser beam. Mm-hmm. And so for bread, around 400. But for pizza, I am between 700, a little more sometime.
And do you build your own fires? Do you do the whole process?
I definitely build my own fire.
And we were just talking about with the pizza oven how the fire is continuing to go. There's always a flame. When mm-hmm. you're baking bread, do you leave mm-hmm. the fire going?
Very different process. For bread, you rake everything into your ash dump and clean your surface and put the bread I make, directly on the brick.
Okay, so you build a fire, let it burn for a while, and then remove everything.
Everything. For pizza, I leave the fire going on semi-circle in the back. And I think, you know, I don't think you can reproduce the pizza we make in a brick oven. The bottom is evenly baked, and all the ingredients are roasted. And if you choose right and you have fresh ingredients from your garden, it is superb.
Heavenly. Absolutely heavenly. Well, with we were just talking before the break, and Aaron was saying that you can't produce the kind of pizza that you have without the fire. But mm-hmm. do you think you can taste the smoke and the fire in the pizza?
I can taste these roasted ingredients and herbs, fresh herbs. And I always bake a thin crust and very little crust around. So you have just a beautiful thin crust and fresh ingredients.
With the bread, that kind of artisan bread is reproduced again in many kinds of ovens that don't
yes.
use fire. Do you feel like having a wood-fired oven lends your bread something that you can't get in another kind of oven?
I think the bread you could do in a regular oven.
A lot of those fancy ovens that you find in bakeries that do artisan bread have steam injection and all kinds
exactly.
of stuff to give
yeah.
the crust its texture. How mm-hmm. do you do that?
You know, if I fill my oven with 14 loaves, then I have all the humidity I need. If I bake less than 14, then I spray, maybe
okay.
twice during the baking.
So you can just use a spray bottle and squirt
spray
it in
bottle.
There.
Spray bottle. Simple.
No steam injection necessary. Simone, I have seen your oven, and it is so very beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's such a lovely structure. Was that important to you to have this aesthetic of the oven as
mm-hmm.
well?
Yes, definitely. See, I look at this French oven in stone of any region, and this I couldn't afford here to import from Maine or whatever. So mine has some brick, but I have no skills for building, but I designed the oven, the proportion.
And with this oven, it strikes me that you have done something very practical, because as a baker, you have an oven on your property. It's outside. It doesn't fill it up with heat. and you didn't have to run a gas line. And to contrast with the wine bar, you did something a little impractical, Matt. some restaurateurs would say that. You're adding complexity.
Yes, I think that's right. I think that's right.
So that leads me to the question, and you know, we've been sort of dancing around it, but why? I mean, you imported an oven from Italy and you have to build a fire every day. Why was it so important for you to have the wood-fired oven there?
I think that's a tough question. I mean, I think it's just, if you look at any craft, you know, and you see the people who are doing that craft, there's always going to be a percentage of them that maybe take a harder road to get from point A to point B, you know, and not to sound too, you know, whatever about it, but there's something about the journey of getting from A to B that makes the job worth doing more to me, you know. And we do breads in the oven too. I mean, you know, it worked the same way for us. In the mornings, we will, you know, rake all that out and put some breads in there too. So it's practical in that way because we couldn't do that at the cafe. We don't have the space to do those kind of breads too. So there's a lot of uses for it, but it's just about the journey, wanting to like the tools that you have to work with every day. You know, you'd rather have a good microphone and headphones in here than a bad one, even if it was a little harder to deal with.
And Simone, with your oven, do you have a baking season? Do you bake in the middle of winter?
I used to, and baking pizza mostly in summer. I do my public dinners 9 months a year, then take a long vacation.
That's very nice. But baking in the winter outside at a wood-fired oven must be a very different experience.
not a big deal.
Really?
You know, there is a overhead on the oven, and I have baked under snow and rain. When I was starting, I was baking a lot.
How much capacity do you have in your oven? You said 14 loaves at a
loaves
time?
Loaves of about a pound and a half.
So you can get a lot of bread made.
Yes.
What's your window of opportunity to bake? Because if you rake all of those coals out and you have the oven at the temperature that you want, it's going to start losing heat right away.
I can do 2 batches of bread, no more. Some people make more, but I don't know how. Because my break oven is the same principle as Matt's and is heat-retaining brick and very efficient. But I have not succeeded in more than 2. And, you know, when I was selling at a farmer's market, I could have really used a third load. But
yeah, so going through the whole process, you could make 28 loaves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think for our oven, we can just do 1 round and it loses heat. Is that true, Aaron?
Yeah, we get 1 round in, and it's a little bit more difficult to get those, you know, last 15 minutes or so on that second batch. There's definitely ways to, like Simone was saying, creating the sourdough, and that's what I'm baking most of the time as well. But also there's ways to do it where you're baking something that needs a little bit higher heat. So like baguettes, you usually bake it at sort of a warmer temperature. So it's nice to, you know, do a run of those, and then you can put something else in.
All right, so you
even
can do
like
the
a brioche or something else.
Then,
My first load would take 25 minutes, and the second one up to an hour, but would bake great.
We are talking about wood-fired ovens this hour on Talk of Iowa. With me, Simone Delaty. She is owner of Simone's Plain and Simple Artisan Bread and Farm Fresh Products. And Matt Steigerwald and Aaron Hall are here from the Lincoln Wine Bar in Mount Vernon. And we would love for you to join our conversation as well. There are a number of people who've built their own wood-fired ovens. Have you had that experience? Let us know. 866-780-9100. Where's your favorite place to eat that has a wood-fired oven? Tell us about it. 866-780-9100. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. And I want to bring Jim Duncan into the conversation now. He is founder and publisher of Relish, a food quarterly in central Iowa. He's a longtime food writer for City View and The Iowan. Hello, Jim.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
And now from my perspective, this seems like something that we are seeing more around the state of Iowa. Do you see wood-fired ovens in restaurants as a bit of a trend in the state?
Well, there's an upside and a downside to that. I've noticed on the barbecue side that the number of people using pure wood smokers are diminishing.
Hmm.
In fact, the only place that I think is 100% wood smoked left in Des Moines is the Flying Mango, whereas a few years ago we had quite a few.
That's interesting. But you're seeing more pizza ovens, that kind of thing?
A few more. Not as many in central Iowa. Cozy Cucina, I think, introduced the wood smoked or the wood fired pizza oven to central Iowa.
And that's in Clive?
I believe it's Clive. I get kind of confused driving out in the suburbs which side of the street I'm on.
You're not alone, Jim.
it's Clive or West Des Moines or Urbandale, and it's right on the border there. It's on 86th Street, I believe. But it was remarkably popular when it first hit town. It was when the Bridges of Madison County was being filmed in Winterset, and Clint Eastwood became very fond of it and visited it many times. And because of that, the word of mouth reputation grew. And
right. It doesn't hurt to have a movie star eating in your restaurant, does it?
Not at all, especially one of the magnitude of Clint. But I honestly expected the number to grow significantly after that, and it didn't particularly happen. A lot of people think that Centro is a wood fired, but they actually use coal down there. George Fumaro wanted to duplicate the pizza ovens of New York City's Little Italy, and which are mostly coal fired rather than wood fired.
And where is that one?
That's downtown Des Moines on 10th and Locust.
Well, interesting. I hadn't thought about coal fired pizza.
you can actually. It's easier to get the heat up higher with coal-fired oven than it is with wood-fired.
So, Jim, and we'll talk about some of the other restaurants that are doing this as well. What do you think about wood-fired baking?
I think it's magnificent. It's consistency is harder to maintain with wood-fired. So, you have to have cooks and line chefs, on top of their game, because the inconsistencies are dramatic. Listening to Simone talk about building her brick oven, George Fumaro, the same guy at Centro and probably the most famous restaurateur in Iowa right now. He was named to the top 20 restaurateurs in America by the James Beard Awards this year. But he began by building his own brick oven in a backyard on the south side of Des Moines. It was called South Union Bakery. And he modeled that after some old Italian bakeries he saw in Zucksburg, Iowa, which is a ghost town now, but 100 years ago had 6 Italian bakeries in the town. It was a coal mining town that had a large population 100 years ago before it disappeared from the face of the map of Iowa. But he actually excavated down there and compared that to some of the places in Sicily that he visited from his mother's hometown, and started with this brick oven, and discovered that with a wood, you experimented with wood and some other sources of heat, and absolutely loved cooking with wood. But the consistency became a problem when he developed a volume to the point where it is now. Now they have a temperate, climate controlled bakery in the basement of the Gateway Market in Des Moines, and because it's just not possible to do volume with consistency that it is when you're doing a small operation.
Well, Aaron, I know this is your first experience with a wood-fired oven. How long did it take you to get the technique down?
Oh, that was a good. I think the technique is still coming, really, but definitely those first few months, the first few weeks. Those first few days, I was stressed. And being this first adventure for me in that type of cooking and baking, it was a learning process, absolutely. And even for me to try to describe this process to someone else, if we bring someone else into train, it's often really difficult for me to to explain every variable. As Jim was saying, there's so many variables that you have to pay attention to between even the kind of wood that you're using, that this log is actually different than this log. And when you put that in the fire, it's going to act different than all the other ones. And so it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of attention.
So when you train someone else, I'm sure everyone takes a different amount of time with this learning curve, but how long do you think that it takes for somebody to get the feel, to at least be able to turn out a product you can sell?
It all really depends on who that person is and how their brain works. And, sometimes like when Matt and I first started doing this, we were working together nightly and, we'd have Sunday and Monday off and we'd come in on that Tuesday and we'd kind of look at each other like, okay, how do we do this again? Because it is something that you just have to continue to do and do and do and repeat that process.
We're talking about wood-fired ovens in Iowa this hour. With me, Aaron Hall. He is the pizza maker at the Lincoln Wine Bar in Mount Vernon. Also, Matt Steigerwald is here. He's the chef and owner of the Lincoln Cafe and Wine Bar in Mount Vernon. Simone DeLatte is here with us. She's owner of Simone's Plain and Simple Artisan Bread and Farm Fresh Products near Wellman. And also with me, Jim Duncan. He is founder and publisher of Relish, a food quarterly in central Iowa, and a longtime food writer for City View and The Iowan. You're welcome to join our conversation at 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about wood-fired ovens in Iowa. And I have a number of people with experience with wood-fired ovens here with me this hour. Simone DeLatte is owner of Simone's Plain and Simple Artisan Bread and Farm Fresh Products. She has an outdoor wood-fired oven on her property in rural Wellman, Iowa. Matt Steigerwald is chef and owner of the Lincoln Cafe and Wine Bar in Mount Vernon, and Aaron Hall is the pizza maker at the Lincoln Wine Bar in Mount Vernon. They're both here with me today, and also Jim Duncan, founder and publisher of Relish, a food quarterly in central Iowa. He's also a longtime food writer for City View and The Iowan, and we want to hear from you, too. A lot of people have built their own wood-fired ovens. If that's your experience, we would love to hear about how it's gone for you at 866-780-9100. You can also send an email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org or also share with us your favorite place to eat in Iowa that has a wood-fired oven. The number again, 866-780-9100. And Simone, listening to you talk about how you can only get 2 rounds of bread done in your wood-fired oven after building the fire and raking out the coals, and then listening to the process of making pizza, it almost sounds like if you were going to have a wood-fired bakery, pizza is a much simpler way to go because you can do the volume that you would need to do to make a living. I mean, was that part of the consideration with your choice to do pizza at the wine bar?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want a bakery. I mean, we use bread at the cafe for things, and we've gotten into baking bread in the oven. But I always like the immediacy of cooking. You know, you make it, people eat it, they're smiling, or they're not, I guess, and you're happy. You know, and I think Aaron is really good at bread because he's a much sort of he's more methodical about his life, I think, than me. He doesn't mind waiting a day to look at the dough tomorrow and seeing how it's going. Oh, it's changed this minuscule amount. We can do this to it. And then we can make these great loaves, and it's great. And the same with the dough for the pizzas. But I really enjoy the part where we get the pizza in the oven, blows up, beautiful, garnish it, get it out of someone, and they're smiling. That's cooking to me, and that's it's fast turnaround. So that's good for business, but it's also fast turnaround, so it's good for me to feel good about the product.
Well, and Simone, what led you into making pizzas? Because you started out just doing bread in your oven, right?
I did. One summer, I was serving pizza to friends repeatedly. And then at the point, I thought maybe people would like a dinner around pizza. So I started my dinners that way and tested with different groups in Iowa City and in my neighborhood.
And your dinners are people come to your property and enjoy the beautiful surroundings,
right,
and eat pizza.
Right. And I started with pizza and then added some other menus.
All right. And we're going to get to the phones here. Joe is on the line in Bondurant. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Charity.
Hi. What would you like to talk about?
I live in Bondurant, real close to Des Moines, and the city of Ankeny has what's called Chip's Restaurant. Been there all about 15 years. They've got the best wood-grilled pizza. My wife and I have been going there, like I said, for 15 years, and I can't imagine not getting – and it's like a Reuben pizza. It's amazing. Nobody else has ever – you know, it's the wood-grilled thing. It's got to be. And I've got to say, on a day like this when it's cold and stuff – you know, yeah.
How much snow do you have on the ground, Joe?
Oh, probably about an inch right now, Bondurant, out in the country. So, but long story short, the wood grid is so green, it's so fresh. It's like everything that's new is very old is new again. And you know, compared to like any other pizza, the wood grilled pizza is just amazing. So I applaud everything they're doing, all your guests are doing, and I hope everything can continue with that, and the trend goes more, you know, to the older ways of cooking things. And it's just simpler, less chemicals, less problems, less, you know, microwaving, all that junk. And you know what I mean? So just fresher ingredients, better cooking. It's, you know, worked for thousands of years, right? So, so thanks for taking my call, Charity.
All right.
Enjoy everything.
Thanks. Oh, thanks. Bye-bye. Thanks a lot for your call, Joe. And Jim, you want to weigh in
totally
on Chip's?
Yeah, I totally concur with Joe there. Chip's is a magnificent wood oven. The pizzas are great. They also wood grill the chickens there. And, yeah, to the best of both worlds, get a wood-grilled chicken pizza when you go to Chip's. And along with the instead of serving courtesy bread at the table, too, Chip's serves
chips,
fresh,
right?
Made potato chips. Yeah, right out of the fryer. It's a real treat. The jewel of Ankeny.
And Matt, you do some other things. I mean, you've talked about bread and pizza in the oven, but you do some other things, don't you?
Well, we have, like the Lincoln Cafe, we keep a very small menu because I just feel like it's more manageable. So really the only other things that we do on the menu for the pizzas, we cure our own anchovies, which is something that I just don't see anybody do, and it's fun, and I think they're delicious. I'm really happy with that. And they can always get that as a side. We do fresh chilies as a side if you'd like that as well. But the other little like snacks that we have is when you go to Spain or Italy, I've been to Spain several times. A lot of the bars have these little like canned seafood, like smoked mussels in escabeche or tuna belly, sardines, and I just loved the fact that it was ready made, well made, and interesting. And that's one thing we have on our menu is I get these from Spain, and you order them, and we just, you know, like pull back the can top and send out with some crackers. And it's a way to think about food that I think a lot of people around here wouldn't think that would be something you'd want. But once you order it a couple times, you realize it's really well made. And then we do our own ice creams and gelatos, and that's always different, every week or two.
I want to return to something Joe was saying on the phone about how the sometimes the older ways are better. And you know, when you watch the cooking shows on the Food Network or talk to different chefs, there are these amazing ways that they're making food with sous vide and, you know, all kinds of high-tech things that they can do with food. Is there an allure, though, when you just think about cooking with fire? Is there something about that, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I've been cooking in restaurants for 25 years, and I've seen the arc of sort of chefs, and there's that period when you want whatever's the newest thing, and then you want to try to have as much control over the plate as you can, and as much like structure and detail. And I love that, and I like that even now sometimes. But definitely as I get older, there's this allure to flatter, simpler food that has fewer ingredients but just done well. And that was definitely part of the allure with the oven. The other thing I wanted to mention about the ovens is that we haven't talked about is the variable of wood. Aaron mentioned it earlier, but we've been through three different wood people in the past year. And if you get a bad batch of wood, or if you get even six or eight bad logs, your night can be kind of ruined, you know, if they're popping or if they're green or if they just won't get hot enough. So that's also kind of an interesting factor. We have to rely on someone or find a relationship with someone who has that good wood and have them bring it to you weekly.
Is that something you can tell by looking at it, or do you have to stick it in the oven and think, oh, no?
The people who deal in wood can look at it and tell you. I mean, it's just like you continue to notice different things throughout the night. You notice that, you know, like I was mentioning earlier, that this log's going to burn this way and that one's going to burn that way. But being out in the field and looking at a stack of logs, I don't think I personally would be able to tell which one's which.
Not yet. Craig is on the line from Orient. Hi, Craig.
Hi. Well, that leads right into my question. Where do you get your wood? What kind of wood do you use? How's it cured? And is it local?
Aaron might be able to speak to this too, but we get wood from a local source, a person who does a lot of building with decks and things, and also sells wood to some other restaurants in the area. And I think generally there's elm, white oak. What else is usually in there, Aaron?
Mostly the most important part is that it's a hardwood.
It's a hardwood that has been aged at least a year.
And also the way that it's cut, the size of the logs are important. We usually try to get pieces that are about a foot long and, you know, maybe about 2 to 3, or probably about 3 to 4 inches in width, just because it seems to burn just about the right amount. And Simone might.
Yeah, what kind of wood do you use, Simone?
You know, first I looked around, I placed an ad in the paper to get apple wood trimmings, and I came back home with 20 pickup full. But I had to break it. And so after a while, I was also visiting a baker, a professional baker in Kansas, and I told him, where do you get your wood? And he said, Simon, you have cabinet makers all around you, and they don't know what to do with their wood, and it's always hardwood and dry. And I get mine even bagged from a place where they make clocks in Kelowna, and it's wonderful. It's no effort.
And the countryside around Wellman is filled with cabinet makers and wood artisans. Yeah. That's great.
Dry is the key word there, too.
Dry, yeah.
Make sure that your wood has been aged a little bit, because disastrous things happen when you're using freshly cut wood sometimes. There's also the mesquite phenomenon. I think Matt and I have talked about this before back in the late 80s.
Right.
Mesquite grilled meats became really popular in chic restaurants on the two coasts, and a lot of people went out and tried to duplicate that without realizing that you can't cook with mesquite indoors unless it's not only aged but usually charcoaled. And people were going out and trying to cook with mesquite on the grill in a restaurant, and the stink was so terrible that it drove the customers out of the place.
Yeah, it is a bad smell.
Well, and so, Aaron, you were saying people ask about what kind of wood you use, because when you smoke meat, you know, hickory smoked meat, that kind of thing is very popular. But you don't think that the different kinds of woods impart a different kind of flavor?
I don't think so. Matt, I don't mean to jump in, but I don't think so. I think it's just about the temperature they burn at.
Mm-hmm. Simone? Yeah.
So I know a French baker, a very famous baker. He used to bake only a purist, really, with apple wood. But I think all hardwoods, well dried, will do exactly the same.
And some people, when they ask me that, you can tell when, if you put a new log in the oven, there'll sort of be this immediate bit of smoke that shows up. And you can see that there's about an inch or two above the floor. And then above that is where all that smoke is. But below that is so clear. If you're smoking meats, or if you're, you know, smoking salt or smoking whatever you are, you're filling a space with that smoke. And with pizzas, it just sits right below that line. And even if, you know, it was sitting in there for longer than a minute and a half, you know, maybe you could get some sort of flavor off that smoke, but it's not something that we pay attention to in detail.
It is nice if we can roast mushrooms or meats in the fire, a smaller fire, the day before, say. That will get some of that flavor onto the pie.
Okay.
Hey, I wanted to ask the other guests, do you get customers that come in and ask for well-done pizza or underdone pizza, other than me?
No. And which do you ask for, Jim?
I've never heard of that.
No. Well, I always ask my pizza to be well-done. I think for the general public that people don't quite they're a little bit afraid of the char effect.
Oh, you mean the darkness, not the actual cooking of the dough.
Well, they go both. I just ask them to leave it in the oven a little bit longer than they normally would.
Yeah. Right. We do sometimes get people asking us about gluten-free pizzas, which could be a whole other show.
And they take a lot longer to cook, right?
Well, we just don't do them.
Oh, okay. Very good. I understand.
So I don't know how long they take to cook.
Very good. I applaud you, Matt.
Aaron, you had mentioned the char on the pizza, and that lends flavor, right?
Yeah, I think that's a depth of character that is necessary. And just like the caller before was talking about, that you can't find a pizza that tastes like that unless it's been cooked in an oven with a flame. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a major part. And to get your pizza well done, as Jim mentions, I think is, I mean, that's a preference for sure. And that's his love for that flavor.
I want to get back to the phones. David is on the line in Brandon. Hi, David. David, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. And you have a wood-fired oven?
It's called a taboon. It's a Middle Eastern wood-fired oven. And actually, the way you make it is very fundamental. Take a steel garbage can and you cut a hole in the bottom where you're going to put the wood in the fire. And then you pack it with earth all the way around it, especially earth that has clay in it. And you take your pizza and you slap it onto the side of the garbage can, the inside wall of the garbage can, and then it will cook and you can take it off and have wonderful pizza. And you can cook also pizza, you can cook matzah, things like that.
Oh, that's great. And you built that yourself, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you build it yourself. It's a traditional outdoor oven from Yemen.
Oh, fascinating. David, thank you so much for calling and sharing that with us today. And we're nearly out of time, Jim, and there's a few other places that we haven't mentioned where you can go get wood-fired pizza. I mean, wood-fired pizza seems to be the thing that restaurants are doing with wood-fired ovens for the most
absolutely.
Part, right?
Absolutely. Bonfire in Cebula has become a genuine tourist attraction. It's a wood-fired pizza restaurant in Cebula, Iowa, which is a magnificent little town in its own right. I just visited LeClaire last week for the, well, probably 50th time in the last 50 years to Fulmer's Fish Shack, which is absolutely one of the jewels of Iowa. It's he actually net fishes Mississippi River fish. He cleans them out by putting them in a fresh water tank for 4 days before he kills them, and then he smokes sturgeon, catfish, buffalo, and carp. And it's absolutely one of the unique food treats of America. And he uses 7 different kinds of wood and, you know, says he takes whatever he can get, but that's all fruit wood. Here in central Iowa, I mentioned Cozy Cucina before, and one of the callers mentioned chips, but we also have a Red Rosa pizza, which is a Napoli-style wood-fired pizza oven, and also out in Clive, and we have some people that actually grill with, that cook meats with wood, but not their pizzas, such as Centro. In fact, they did. I saw Matt on Andrew Zimmern last a couple weeks ago, and he was using a hog from Carl Blake up at Rustic Rooster, I think it's called.
Right.
And down at Centro, they've cooked whole hogs in a wood-fired oven.
And Jim, we're out of time, but you've given us a lot of ideas for places to go and eat. Jim Duncan, founder and publisher of Relish Food Quarterly in Central Iowa. Matt Steigerwald and Aaron Hall of the Lincoln Wine Bar in Mount Vernon, thank you both so much for being
thank
here
you.
Today. And Simone De Letty, owner of Simone's Plain and Simple Artisan Bread and Farm Fresh Products. Thank you, Simone.
You're welcome.
This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.